And on ABC Radio Around Australia and on your poddy with me, Noel Debien. And in the first part of this hour, my guest is Tom Roberts, Editor-at-Large for the National Catholic Reporter. Tom, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you.
Tom, running stories in news at the moment. I think you started with Brazil from National Catholic Reporter this week and the notion that secularism is actually making big inroads.
Yeah, it's an interesting study. And my colleague John Allen, in his weekly column this week, writes about a study that was done by the Getúlio Vargas Foundation, a think tank in Brazil, that on the basis of interviews conducted for Brazil's 2010 census, has come to the conclusion that the Catholic share of Brazil's population has dropped to 68%, which is its lowest level since census data began being collected in 1872.
This is a traditionally Catholic country, which is, in my mind at least, 90% Catholic.
Right. I think it's often described as the most Catholic country in the world. And the big fall-off is with people under the age of 20 who just say they don't follow religion anymore and it doesn't have any meaning for them. The results, he says, track from other data from Brazil. In 2007, Father José Oscar Bellozzo, who directs the Center for Evangelizing Services and Popular Education in Sao Paulo, said that between 1980 and 2000, the percentage of the Brazilian population that identifies itself as Protestant, with most of that number being Pentecostal, rose from 12 to 17%. At the same time, the percentage with no religious affiliation, and this is what I think what is scaring religionists of all sorts, rose from 7.7% to 7.3%. So there's a sea change going on in the culture that's mirroring what's happening in other places in the northern hemisphere and certainly in Western Christianity.
Now, on the other side of the world, you've also looked at the new Archbishop of Manila.
I owe these two to my colleague John Allen, and he did a profile of the new Archbishop of Manila, Luis Antonio Tagle. And John said that being appointed to Manila means that there's a red hat in his future, and there's not a lot of buzz around him, people who know him and people in the Philippines, saying that he could well be the next pope. He's young. He's only 54, and as they say, looks even younger. But some of the striking characteristics are that he lives very simply. He is very popular. He's known to be able to take complicated concepts and relate them in very easy to understand language. He also has a reputation for taking people, indigents, drunks, off the street if they're hanging around in front of his house and having dinner with them. There's one wonderful story he tells of a woman who tells a story of going out and looking for her alcoholic husband, thinking he was in one of the bars again, only to be told by somebody that he was in having dinner with the bishop. He rides a bicycle often. He doesn't often wear clericals, or he's seen without clericals on in regular clothes, and rides public transportation regularly to work.
This guy's a bit of a media star as well, I think.
Well, there's a real story there, and yet he was educated at Catholic University in the United States, and did a thesis under the theologian Joseph Komanchek, who's a very well known theologian in the United States, where he did a favorable treatment of the development of episcopal collegiality at the Second Vatican Council. So there's certainly an infusion of a different point of view in this episcopacy and a real strong sense of unity with the poor. He's very strong on environmental issues. He's conservative or orthodox, if you will. He was strongly opposed to the contraception law in the Philippines.
Cardinal Jamie Sin was actually very well known here in Australia. He was the Archbishop of Manila, not the last one, but the previous one. A very affable man who did a lot of visiting in Australia. So Manila and Australia are not too distantly connected in the region. But quite apart from what's been going on in the Philippines, you in the United States have had your first Catholic bishop indicted over the sexual abuse crisis.
Yes, Bishop Robert Finn in Kansas City, Missouri. It's the Kansas City St. Joseph Diocese. This is a really stunning and sobering and shocking development to a lot of people because he is the first bishop to be indicted for his role in the sex abuse crisis. And the diocese has also been indicted, and no one quite knows now what this all means. He's publicly apologized for mishandling this case, in which he originally was told about a priest who was taking lewd photos of youngsters, 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds and that sort of thing. he sent him off to a convent, essentially asked him to be good and stay at the convent and not be around children. But by this point in the history of this crisis, and it's been going on for 25 years in this country, it's pretty well recognized that the bishop's obligation at this point, if there's any hint of abuse, of abusive behavior, that, especially with children, you hand the case over immediately to your review board, which he didn't, and you call the police in on it. The police were eventually called in and notified, and they found a lot of pornographic images on this guy's computer. So it's a mess because no one knows now what happens in a diocese where a bishop has been indicted and could stand. I mean, he's indicted with a misdemeanor criminal charge, but he says he's going to mount a rigorous defense. And so what happens in the meantime? What happens if the diocese is convicted as a legal entity of failure to protect children? And that's the charge against them.
When you describe a misdemeanor offense in American law, this is nevertheless can involve up to a year in prison, I think, the bishop could end up with, at worst-case scenario.
At worst case, you're in prison and or a fine up to $1,000. Now, that's not huge, but it's tough to go on and be a bishop in a diocese where you're defending yourself against that kind of a charge. And so no one knows what the future is. Some are expecting him to at least stand aside a bit. He said he is not going to resign. And so we're sort of left up in the air with this mess this deep into the into the crisis. What it also does is it just draws the energy out of the church and presents the church with an enormous distraction. You know, and people haven't caused this. It's just a terrible sign of how bad this crisis can be and how distracting it can be.
There's an impending loss of American influence in the Vatican with the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith about to turn over.
This was actually Robert Moynihan in a fairly conservative magazine called the Inside the Vatican. And he was reporting that the buzz in Rome and around the Vatican is that Gerhard Ludwig Mueller is rumored to be the choice to succeed Cardinal Lebeda as head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And I think that the rumors about him succeeding Lebeda stem from the fact that Lebeda is 75, or turned 75 this past summer. And so we'll have to submit a letter of resignation. Now, whether that's accepted or not is another matter. But the significant thing about Mueller is that he is both a personal and dear friend and longtime friend of Pope Benedict XVI. He also was a student and is a longtime, and they say dear friend, of Gustavo Gutierrez, of course, is known as the father of
liberation theology.
Liberation theology in Latin America. You know, and he has a high regard for him. He doesn't question, you know, his orthodoxy and has stayed in touch with him. So it's kind of a very interesting story. There are never any, you know, clear lines when you think you've got it all figured out. There are these twists and turns and people who relate across what we think are the normal barriers and keeps life interesting inside the church, I think.
It's an interesting turn-up. The news we have from the Vatican is that this current pope is inclined to leave bishops in place till 78. So it'll be interesting to see whether Lebeda actually does furnish a resignation letter, a retirement letter, and whether it's accepted or not, and whether that rumor does have any leaks.
That's true, yeah. It's also interesting that I think the bishop in the Philippines, to go to the other end of the of the world, is only 54. Which means he's got a long time to go and could accumulate quite a bit of influence with his, you know, contacts in the Vatican and contacts in the United States, and with in one of the most, you know, again, one of the most Catholic countries in the world.